I'm excited about what God's going to do in these days. And I know God done a wonderful work last night in my heart. I enjoyed the message last night. I enjoyed the drama. I don't know what all that was about, that drama thing, but I enjoyed that last night. And if there is one thing that I believe that would bring revival, it is worship. I believe sometimes you have to worship and praise your way out of a lot of situations. If you don't learn to worship and learn to praise God, you're going to go crazy in this work. Now, that's a fact. Preachers are dying by the groves because they've not taught their people how to worship. They've taught them how to administrate, but not how to worship. They come to church and go through the motions, but they don't worship. Folk leave the house of God and go back home just like they came. Oh, listen, they've let the charismatics knock us out of old-fashioned worship. But I'm not going to let that crowd stop me from getting excited about the Lord. Baptists were shouting a long time before that crowd ever came around. And I believe we ought to just keep on shouting and enjoying the glory of God. Matter of fact, if you don't like shouting, I hope God let your mansion be right next door to mine, and I'm going to raise the windows every evening and squall all through the day. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, folks, you need to learn to worship God. Get excited. Oh, Lord, I can imagine that when we get to heaven and we walk around, we're going to see some folks. I say, well, it's good to be here. But I'm going to tell you, you're going to be excited when you get to heaven. The Lord's coming back with the shout. And we're going to shout as we leave here. And I'm going to enjoy my journey. Amen. God taught me a great lesson. Several months ago, I flew into Jacksonville, Florida for a revival. And the ladies came on to intercom there in the airport. And they said, we have some available seats in first class. If you'd like to upgrade for $50. You can come and sit in first class. I just sat there and I thought, bless God, I can do more with my $50 than pay for a chair that I ain't going to get to keep. And so, I said, I just keep my $50 in my pocket. And she came on three or four more times. I thought, y'all go ahead. They was running up there together. I said, help yourself. But you know, God taught me a great lesson because those people spent their $50 and sat in first class and they didn't get there a bit quicker than I did. We got there at the same time. We flew with the same gas. I mean, the same pilot got us both there. And so I just realized that no matter how you go through life, you may have to sit in coach, but as long as we've got heaven as our destination, we know Jesus is our pilot, and we're going to make it. We just ought to just kick back and just enjoy the journey as we go to heaven. Amen. I'm not enduring it. I'm enjoying it. And it's time that some of God's people realize that God's been good to us. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Joshua. I'm feeling a preacher run up on me. And I've come to enjoy the Lord this morning. Joshua chapter 1. Let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God. If I get too loud, turn your hearing aids off. Amen. I'm not a loud preacher. My voice just carries well. Verse number 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore rise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Let us pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for letting us be at the house of God and having another opportunity to preach the Word of God.
Our Father, we certainly this morning feel like we're out of our spot around such great men of God. And but God, You've called us to preach, and that's what I want to do. You help me this morning and send old-fashioned revival. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to preach this morning on Moses is dead. Moses is dead. We find, as we were reminded last night, of our forefathers who have paved the way and has brought about a great move of God, a great awakening. But I began to think, and as I went back to the camper last night, I began to think, and I said, God, they had some great meetings. They had a spiritual awakening. And God, those great men really experienced the move of God. And why are we not experiencing that? And God said, if we're going to have what they had, we must do what they did. And we are wanting to come and program revival. And we're wanting to go about it and live about the days of old. But God is telling Joshua, now Joshua, Moses is dead. You can't live on yesterday's bread. You can't dwell in their work. I've got a work for you to do. And friend, I'm glad and I'm thankful for our forefathers. I'm thankful for the men, the D.L. Moody's, the Charles Haddon Spurgeon's, and the Percy Rays. I'm excited about all of them. But friend, I've got to have something today. I can't live with stale manna. And friend, I believe in our churches are dying by the groves. There's no excitement. There's no energy. There's no real move of the Holy Ghost. And I will say that in the Baptist church, we need to get the Holy Ghost moving in our church services once again. We're so afraid in our churches to mention the power of the Holy Spirit of God. That's why we come in with sermon ass for a bunch of Christian ass, and they go out and act like sissy ass, and they keep on going. But friend, we need somebody to rap back and get excited. We talk about heaven. Hallelujah. We ought to get excited. We ought to run the aisles. We ought to jump up in the seat. Well, I'm just not all that emotional. I bet if you won $1 million this morning, you'd be emotional. Oh, listen. Moses is dead. We've got to go on. We're living in the days where our worship has died. Huh? Our worship. You can hear a pin drop in the sanctuary. We can't worship because there's a baby crying in the sanctuary. That ain't your problem. If I can't out-preach a crying baby, I'm going to sit down anyhow. Huh? It's not about somebody walking in and out that's interfering with you. What's interfering with us? We have taken our eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ in all of His fullness, in all of His glory. Listen, friend, when we see the Lord, we'll be as Isaiah. We'll quit looking at everybody else and say, oh God, look at me. Look at the condition that I'm in. Oh, folks, and when we can get right with God, you're talking about having revival. Everybody's looking for the big move of revival. Folks, I'm just hungry for one to start right in this spot. Just right with me. Oh, we're living in the day. Joshua, Moses is dead. You can't continue on wearing and mourning over Moses. He's gone. But he said, arise. Thank God, folks, we need to rise. It's time that we who have the truth, we've got the fundamentals. We wouldn't dare compromise. You see, John chapter 4 says that you must worship in spirit and in truth. We've got truth, and I'm telling you, ain't an ounce of spirit in most of our churches. And got all kinds of truth. I mean, we know how to dress. We know how to act.
How many of we know how to separate ourselves? Am I in the right house? We know how to do all that stuff. And it ain't got a lick of spirit. Then you got the other crowd that we're cussing because they got spirit and no truth. We're just as bad to have truth and no spirit as they do with spirit with no truth. We need to have spirit and truth. Thank God we've got the truth. Let us just come in, have the Holy Ghost working inside of us, moving and arise, because we do have a promised land to go to. Oh, listen. Death is a funny thing. I'm fascinated with death. I can't figure it out. Just a few weeks ago, I had a church member passed away at the home, and I got there before the funeral directors got there, and I just stared at the corpse, and I was trying to figure out death. You can't figure it out. But I got to thinking, as I looked at that corpse, I thought, I'll look a lot of that every week. Every Sunday morning I look at stuff like that. I can't figure it out. But we say we have life. We're kind of like the Church of Sardis. Have a name that we live. We're dead. Dead. Dead and for some of you is looking at me like you wished I was really dead now. Where did Brother Walker get that one from? It wouldn't hurt you just to lose your stinking dignity. Most of us got our ties so tight it's about to choke us. Won't you just loosen that thing and just kick back a little while and let's just have church? Dear God, what would my neighbor say if they knew I... Who cares? My neighbor didn't like me before I got saved. So I ain't all that interested in it now. Huh? I didn't have I wasn't popular before I got saved. I'm sure not going to worry about that crowd now. I've been born again by the Spirit of the living God. I've got my, glory to God, I've got my name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life that never can be erased. It's time that we come to church and act like we're not seeking the dead. We come to worship the living. And honey, we're not going to get the victory. We've already got the victory. Hallelujah. We're saved and got glory in our soul. And we ought to act like it in the house of God. Conference, my foot is church. Brethren, we have met to worship. Not to get a cute little outline so we can go back and impress the folk back at our church. Steal 14 sermons, go back and say, look what God gave me. Oh, I know you go to school and they learn how you're supposed to stand. I skipped that class. I know how you're supposed to have all your letters just right so it can be alliterated just exactly right. I understand all that stuff. I skipped that day. If some of your notes blowed away, you wouldn't know how to preach. Matter of fact, the Holy Ghost don't even have to show up in most of our church services. Because we already know how we're going to do it. We already know what we're going to do. I know some of you like to die last night. I'm talking about being in church at 3 and 3:30 and 4 o'clock. Not at my place. Oh, my soul. I didn't ever know you could get too much of a good thing. I'd rather be at the house of God than anywhere else I know of anyway. The only thing I like better than going to church, I don't like it better, but I like it pretty good. If I'm not going to be at church, I at least want to be riding a horse. I mean, I knew I was leaving town. I'd ride a horse just about every day. I like it. I named her Visitation. My folks call me. I keep my cell phone and say, where are you at? I'm on visitation. Going down through the woods. Huh? I mean, before I left home Sunday night, I rode for about 2 or 3 hours. Get my fix in. I'll be gone for 3 days. How do they? But I'm telling you, I'd rather come to church than anything I know of. As much as I love to ride a horse, and some of you like to play golf and all that other stuff, I think that's dumb. You hit a little white ball and run after it and find it, and after you find it, you hit it again. That really don't make sense to me. I used to do that. And I said, I'm going to take up golf because I want to have me something to relax me. That's the dumbest thing I ever tried to get into to relax me. I will hit you. And I get my money's worth. I play the whole course. I hit it on the green, but sometimes it's the wrong green for the hole. Oh, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say Moses is dead, folks. It's time for us to arise and go over. Let's look back at some of the things of Moses' life real quick. And, well, I'm having a good time. I was a little nervous when I first got started being around you folk. Now, I feel like I own this place now. I feel good now. But listen, Moses died, but he died with no regrets. He died with no regrets. Oh, only thing you're going to pull out on him is that he hit the rock when God said speak to it. Oh, how many bad things you've done? I mean, buddy, we'll get something on one of them Bible characters, and boy, we'll get in the pulpit, and honey, we'll wear them out with it. But what if God opened up our closets? Showed us a few things. I believe Moses died without a regret at all. Let me show you something real quick. How do I know he died with no regret? Look in verse number 1. Now, after the death of Moses, I like the next few words. The servant of the Lord. Oh, folks, when you die being a servant of the Lord, honey, you can die with no regrets. I don't want to burn out, blow out, wash out. I want to die in the service of my Lord. I don't want to retire. I don't want to recant. I do not want to turn. I want to die still being a servant of the Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter 24, I believe it is, or maybe 34. Listen, when Moses died, he went up to Mount Nebo, and nobody there but him and God. And I'm going to tell you, glory to God, even God said in his last days, Moses, my servant. Thank God I want the last thing to be said over me as a servant of the Lord. He died on the battlefield. We sang that song around our church. It's a little bit too uppity for some folk, but it says, I promised him that I would serve him till I died. Now I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I'm glad, thank God, to be on the battlefield for the Lord. He's worth fighting for. He's worth living for. He's worth dying for. Honey, he's worth giving it all for. And buddy, when it comes time to die, you can die with no regrets. God took Moses up. He said, Moses, don't you look over there. And showed him the promised land. But he said, but Moses, you can't go in there. Now, we jump off on that rabbit and run around that thing and say, well, Moses didn't get to go to the promised land. Poor Moses. I believe God said, son, I'm going to take you somewhere that's better than that. He said, they're going to go over yonder and have a fight. But I'm taking you somewhere, son, that your eyes have never beheld. Honey, I'm glad, thank God, I may not have the riches of this world. We may not have the big names, the big churches, the big congregations. But, brother, God's taking us to a land that's fairer than day. It's a place that's out of this world. It's a place that flows with milk and honey, unlike anything you and I've ever experienced, honey. And I want to die with no regrets. Not because we don't need to be fussing and whining. Because we don't have. Lash out because of
those spiritual blessings. Oh,
when I first started preaching and pastoring, I thought everybody liked me. And because I was the preacher. And I thought everybody liked preachers. And I think they do. They like them dead. And they like them hurting. They like them poor. And they like them humble. But I was, boy, if the congregation wasn't as big as I thought, boy, I felt like I was a failure. Huh? I mean, if you preach Sunday morning with all you got, and nobody walked the aisle, and I know we got some of these souped up, high-powered, cammed out soul winners. That's going to tell you, if you don't have somebody walk your aisle every Sunday, you're backslid. I got something for those folk, but I can't sit in the house of God. I'm going to tell you something. My ministry is not based on who walks down the aisle. My ministry is not based on how much money we've got in the bank account. My ministry is not based on what size our congregation is. It's based on the fact that I'm in the will of God, doing the work of God, and God is really working a work in my life, and my job is to be a minister, to preach, and if God don't walk nobody down the aisle, that's between Him and those individuals. I'm tired going home on Sunday night and pulling the covers up over my head and feel like I got over that a long time ago, honey. I'm going to tell you something. Preachers quitting every Monday morning. If you'll just get up and do what God's called us to do and preach it with the power of God, with all the love that God can give you, you can wake up on Monday morning and say, "Hallelujah to God. It's a day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Well, they don't like me. So what? Let's just go ahead and live for God and we can die with no regrets. No regrets. Up on Mount Nebo, Moses is getting ready to die. I just done that just to impress y'all. I've seen preachers do that a few times. Now, I just want to be like the big preachers. And I'm thinking about Moses asked God for a request one day. He said, "Show me your glory." God said, "Moses, no man can see my face and live. But I will." You know the story. I can't go into all of it. You know what I believe really happened on Nebo? I believe God said, "Hey, Moses, turn around." Huh? Moses, turn around. Moses turned around. Caught a glimpse of God, boop, out of here. And the Bible says that He buried Moses. Now, hold on down. Nobody up there but Moses and God. And the Bible said He buried him. Thank God, honey, that God will take care of His own. All we got to do is be faithful, live for God, enjoy the goodness of God, and when it comes all over and said and done, God will take us home and be with Him. You can die with no regrets like that. I'm going to try this. Brother Bagwell will say, "I don't know if it'll go over, but I'm going to try it." Can y'all say amen? I'm going to try it one more time. Can y'all say amen?
Amen.
All righty. I ain't even going to try it again. Because some of you are getting mad every time I ask it. But dying with no regrets, folks. And you don't have a revival. It's when you start living the life that is pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Quit being afraid. Just stop being afraid of what they're going to label us.
Yes, sir.
We shout at our place. I've seen them cut out the door, run around the block, and come back in. And I had someone say, "Well, I don't believe you got to do all of that." I said, "I don't have to take a bath either, but it feels good when we do." We've been called everything under heaven at our church. We've been called a Babacostles. Holiness, Pentecostal, charismatic. I said, "Keep on calling, it's still Baptist over our door." Some guy said, all that shouting, now you're going to draw a lot of that crowd in. I said, the truth will get that out. You don't have to worry about it. I mean, just shout. And if you've got truth, it'll weed out the false. Nothing wrong with shouting and enjoying the goodness of God. We've got dignitaries in our church. It wouldn't hurt them to shout a little touch. There's a guy promised to come to our church. He said, me and my wife have been talking, and we're going to come. We want to come visit church. He owns a business, and matter of fact, he probably don't know how many millions he owns in money. Somebody said, how are you going to preach? I'm going to preach the hell out of him. He needs to be saved like everybody. I'm not going to get calmed down just because someone might drop a little dab of money in an offering plate. Brother, I've come to worship. I was worshiping before I ever met this guy. And I sure ain't going to change just because he happens to show up some Sunday. Grab back and enjoy God and die with no regrets. Not only that, but Moses died with no decay. See, Moses died a healthy man. Bible said that Moses was just as strong. I mean, just as healthy. Folks died with no decay. You know what? I don't want to die just as strong spiritual as it was the day God birthed me into His family. This old body might get weak, but I'm telling you spiritually, I don't want to die way up here. Oh, listen. You might not get to jump, hoop, and holler, and shout as loud as you used to, but don't you quit doing it. I mean, listen, if you can't do nothing, I got a little old lady in our church, boy, she's about 78, maybe 80 year old, and she don't do a whole lot of shouting, but every once in a while I'll see that little old bony arm do that. Folks, thank God that when we can get the people who's getting old, they don't quit on God, they still want to worship God, still want to live and still be strong spiritually. Oh, listen, friend, we are spiritually dying. No wonder we need revival. We are spiritually dying with the right truth. But friend, we need to grow as Christians. And so when death comes our way, we can die strong in the Lord. Well, let me give you something else about Moses. But Moses is dead, so what Moses, how he lived and the way he died will help us to have revival. Don't live your life to where you'll regret some things that you've done. Stay strong spiritually. But Moses died with no one else around but God. Preachers, have you ever felt like you was all alone? Pastors, have we ever felt like we was all by ourselves? Just felt like nobody cared anymore? You've ever heard so-and-so died? Oh, they died alone. Oh, I'm so glad that's not true for the child of God. I'm glad God is right there with us. He said to Joshua, He said, as I was with Moses, so I will be with ye. He said, I will never forsake ye. I'll never fail you. Folks, I'm glad when it even feels like no one cares. Nobody loves me. Nobody's around. I'm glad, thank God, He's songs in a midnight. I'm glad He's water in a dry place. I'm glad He's food when you're hungry. I'm glad He's shelter when you're cold. I'm glad, thank God, that He's our high tower. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's my advocate today. He's the bread. I'm glad He's my comforter. He's a door. I'm glad He's Emmanuel. He's my friend, my father. I'm glad, thank God, He gives grace and hope and help. I'm glad, thank God, my friend, He's my immediate help in the present time of need. I'm glad He's my joy that's unspeakable and full of glory when nobody else is around. I've got Jesus. An old song said, just give me King Jesus. I'm glad, thank God, He's love. I'm glad, hallelujah, He's all knowing. I'm glad, praise His holy name, friend. He's mercy. I'm glad He's everything that I need. Excuse me if I get excited. He is my supplier. He's my all in all. When it seems like I'm all alone, I'm glad the Lord's always right there with us. He's the omnipotent, holy God. He's my peace. Thank God He's the quest for everything. He's my Redeemer. The source of my strength. Well, I'm telling you something, we ought to rejoice today. You talking about revival. Revival is not a feel good. It's a no good. Yeah, revival, walk out deader than 4 o'clock in a dead country. Folks, we ought to leave out here with our heads up high. Amen. Help my step. Go back to our places different than the way we came. You go back, hey preacher, you get a hold of revival, you go back to your church and scare them to death Sunday morning. What happened to our preacher?
Amen.
And who knows, brother, sometimes it's better caught than taught. I mean, but if we get our preachers back on fire for God, walk back into our churches on Sunday with a fresh anointing. Oh my God in heaven. I run across an old tape, and I hope I don't hurt nobody's feelings on this, but this tape helped me, and I got to listen to that thing on fresh oil from Dr. Jack Howes. Man, I got to listen to that, Brother Walker. Now, man, buddy, just something just bubbled inside of me all over again. Just, oh, we need that fresh oil.
Yes, sir.
It don't matter what you think about the man, but you've got to agree we need fresh oil.
That's right.
It don't matter, folks. It's still the book. We need fresh oil.
That's right. Yeah.
We need that. I'll tell you, preachers, if we get fresh oil, when it feels like nobody's around, when we get up to preach, oh, that we'd see Jesus. And learn back and breathe with the power and the anointing of God. Oh, we're raising preacher boys to be theologians, but have no power. No power. Because we're looking at everybody else's praise instead of just getting our eyes focused on Him. No regret. No decay spiritually. And it feels like you're all alone. But let me say lastly, but I just don't know how long it'll take me to say the last thing. But Moses died with a great consolation. Whew. One of these days, brother, if God tarries His coming, and we die. Well, I've got a great consolation in my heart today. For me to live is Christ, and that's pretty good. But to die is gain. What consolation. If death shall sweep over this building, hallelujah, we have a place that's beyond this world. I've got a consolation today in my soul, hallelujah, that this world knows nothing about. I've got a hope today that this world can't afford. I've got some help that comes from another world that helps me in the midnight hour. And I'm telling you, if the death angel should sweep my way, before you could call 911, before they ever check my pulse, before they ever declare me dead, I'll already be in Emmanuel's land, shouting the praises of God for all of eternity. Oh, one of these hallelujah mornings, you say, preacher, what's all the excitement about? I'm glad you ask. On February 25th, 1988, the good God of glory, rescued my perishing soul and saved me, hallelujah, saved me from a life of sin. Well, I'm glad, thank God, I changed fountains that night. I got drunk, hallelujah, all over again, and I've never had a hangover. I've never been ashamed of it. I've been high on Jesus ever since. I've got a hope that's beyond this world. I just feel like shouting, thank God. Maybe you wasn't as lost as I was, but I was lost, for me. And I've got a consolation. I don't know why God wanted me. Tried to sell my soul to the devil as a teenage boy. Headed for all the process of it. Dealing with a bunch of bad folk. Hooked on cocaine, smoking dope every day. Steal everything I could get to buy more cocaine. Don't tell me to calm down. And God went a long ways. Fought briars. Fought enemies. Went through the enemy's camp. Went through hell. Had grabbed me out. Put me under His wing. Hallelujah. Been saved all these years. If I live another 100 years, I'll be saved that long more. I'm that, thank God, I'm saved for all of eternity. I'm eternally saved. I'm satisfied being saved. Hallelujah. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quieten down. I'm not going to calm down. I'm saved. 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 Consolation. That's consolation. And when I die, whoa! You preach out of that your church? No, I'm wilder. I'm trying to behave in front of company. There's a consolation that God wanted me. And He told Joshua, arise. Why did He get somebody else? I ain't got time to worry about why did He call these others. I'm just shouting that He called me. Excited that He called me. I'll close with this. One day, I'm sitting on the front seat, saved, living for God, happy. Church every time. No visitation crew's ever been out to hunt me down. Not since the day I got saved. Now, I'm just being honest. I ain't never had a visitation crew had to come get me. I've been in this kind of shape ever since day one. I had a deacon and his wife tell me I'd get over it. I want to go back and see them. I really want to go pay them a visit and squall all through their living room. Sitting there happy, living for God. And that same voice that spoke to my heart for salvation spoke to my heart and said, come be a preacher. He didn't call me because I was some good person. And He just called me. I got to say, my God, you're going to sure have to help me. I'm really an introvert. I'm really shy. I really am. You meet me out there in the hall. I'm just going to go, yes, amen. God bless you. I'm going to tell you, I never ran 1 minute. When God said, come on, I came. Brother Walter, I made a lot of mistakes in my early ministry. I made a lot of mistakes. But I've never one time just said, oh God, you can have it. I'm quitting and I'm done. I'm not saying the thought never crossed my mind. But I'm glad there was something deeper inside of me. And it's a consolation to know that when I preach in front of the greatest preachers this country probably knows sitting in this pulpit, for 2 years, maybe a year and a half since Brother Walker gave me the dates for this meeting, ever since I've been saying, God, why did he call me? I don't fit in. I'm not a big preacher. I said, I'm not a big man. I'm not a... Oh, last week I'm just saying, God, why? And God just said, I called you, son. I didn't call you to be a Percy Ray. I didn't call you to be a D.L. Moody. I didn't call you to be a Jimmy Walker. I called you to be you. Well, that's consolation to know that God just take an old hell-bound sinner like I was, saved me by His grace, then put me in the ministry and said, arise. And let's go over this Jordan. Get to lead the people of God. Oh, we may not have the big congregation, but if I can lead just two or three of God's youngins, hallelujah, and get them on the other side, it'll be worth every mile, every trial, every fight, every failure. It'll be worth it all. Now, you're talking about having revival. Get your eyes off of you. Get your eyes off everybody else. And get them on Jesus. I'll close with this statement. I say you could close three times without lying. Paul said finally, brethren, and wrote three more chapters. We won't stay that long. One of these days, death's going to catch us. Got a little 5-year-old girl and a 12-year-old boy. Wonderful wife. They're going to lay me out in front of the church. That's already been determined. I'm going to be laid out at the church house. I don't believe in that funeral home business. Tell them funeral directors you want it at the church house. They'll do it if you tell them. Because it was at the church where I got saved. It was at the church where I got married. Is that the church where I dedicated my youngins? Is that the church where God called me to preach? Is that the church where I got me a whole heap of help throughout this life? And when I'm gone, they're going to take me down to the church house. They're going to take me down to the church house. That's where they're going to take me. But I want my boy, my girl, and my wife to be able to stand at that coffin. And when folk gather around, I don't know, we may have to hire somebody to come by during that time. But, you know, you can't never tell. You might have to hire pallbearers. Can't get enough to carry your body. But I want to be able to stand. And when they come by and say, oh, we're sorry for your loss, I want them to jump up and down and say, oh, what loss? Oh, he's not lost. No, 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 we didn't lose him. I act like I want to right then, I would scare you. But I don't say, oh no, we know where he's at. That's consolation that you can leave that testimony. That your youngins can say, Daddy's just gone on. We're going to go meet up with him after a while. Had the funeral just a couple weeks ago to that man that on that funeral home, little old slip right there. And I try to be nice everywhere I go. It don't always work out, but I try. On the bottom, that said, final resting place, such and such cemetery. I never said anything. And we went on and had the service, and we took them on out to the cemetery. And I just stood there as nice and as sweet as I am. And that's not sweat, that's honey. I'm sweet. And I said, I would like to make a correction to the funeral home director with no disrespect. But I'd just like to report to the family that he has made a mistake on his little paper. I said, as I was reading over the little piece of paper, I found at the bottom said, final resting place. I said, I'd kind of like to correct that for the family.
Hey! For the child of God, I'm trying to land 6 foot under dirt somewhere. It's not our final resting place. I have a building that made with hands in the heavens. Thank God my home is out of this world. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house will be many mansions. If it were not so, I told you. I've gone to prepare a place. And if I go, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye shall be also. And Jesus is not in the grave. He's alive. He's alive. My final resting place is not in the cemetery. From the grave he arose. And that brings me consolation. And that revives my heart.